All right, this is live coverage of Kwasi Kwarteng's speech at the Tory Party conference. He was due at 4 o'clock apparently, and I think they're still talking about anticipating it, so I don't think it's happened yet, but we shall wait and see.
For the markets, which was a really scary moment and a very unusual thing to happen. The pound's been recovering since then, which is a bit more confidence in the UK. This morning, after that announcement happened from the Chancellor, the pound rocketed higher. I say rocketed, up by about a cent or so against the US dollar. And I'm just looking at it now. It has just gone past 1.13. You probably see it on our screen there if you keep an eye on the top left-hand side. That's the highest I think that has been since that mini budget. So that's a kind of landmark moment for him. And that's maybe the kind of moment where you kind of see markets starting to get a little bit more reassured.
I'm going to keep checking in a minute, but there has been a tweet by Birmingham Police to say, due to a potential security alert, we have temporarily restricted access to and from the ICC. The ICC is the conference centre that we are in. Further updates to follow. That from Birmingham Police saying that they've temporarily restricted access. So just marking that, and we'll of course keep you up to date if necessary. But kind of back to you, Sam. I mean, it just shows, doesn't it, the Edward talked about the reaction of the markets to the budget.
The reaction of the polls to the budget has been similarly dramatic, hasn't it?
YouGov, the poll that we often use here at Sky News, has never recorded as big a Labour lead as the 33.1 that we saw last week. I'm sure within a couple of days we'll get another one, which we'll look at the reaction to Conservative Party conference as well. All of this, of course, after the mini budget, which in some ways was Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng do the most popular stuff that they'd ever do. They spent £160 billion or so in a year. They increased borrowing just the next 6 months by £72 billion. In all this spending, apart from getting any credit, actually the Conservative Party have plunged in the polls, and the stuff that they need to do from here only gets more difficult. And when you look at the just a full array of the challenges, the fact that they're now promising growth, but that requires lots of changes that will require legislation, and we've just today, the political significance of today was the moment that it was made clear to Liz Truss that she was for turning, that she can't have a complete say in the direction of the country without consulting her MPs and getting them on board, which is effectively what she was doing with that 45p top rate abolition. MPs have taken back control, and it means that all the array of bolder stuff that she might have thought she could push through in the coming weeks and months through Parliament, well, now that's all in jeopardy. And it's going to be interesting to see as the markets and MPs come to terms with this new political reality, a party with an 80 or so seat majority, yet hobbled because it has internal disagreements and a new Prime Minister without a clear mandate and lots of challenges as the cost of borrowing, the cost of money goes up, how they're going to do that. Really, there are no nice options for Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng from here on in.
Like Sam's saying, if you think it's hard to get the 45p rate abolitions past Conservative MPs, then just think how hard it's going to be to get planning reform, you know, the Green Belt, all of these things, not in my backyard, building wind turbines throughout the country. That stuff is the hard stuff. That's, you know, supply side reform, a lot of that comes down to planning as well as some of the tax changes. That's the really hard stuff. And for that, I think, you know, you need separate legislation, don't you?
Absolutely. And politics is moving at pace at the moment. And there is a rebellion in the Conservative Party. Because it's a sustained rebellion. What happened yesterday, eons ago in our current political debate, is that Michael Gove effectively appointed himself leader of the internal opposition in the Conservative Party. And I can quite see, talking to people that know him, that there's a series of rebellions that he's quite happy to front the arguments for. And I think top of the list is one of the things he just mentioned. It's the environmental protections. Now, why are they going to get rid of that? Well, Liz Truss is a bit sceptical about some of the environmental protections that are currently in place. She thinks they hinder planning and they hold back growth. But Michael Gove, a strong believer in the green agenda, the net zero agenda, and the question is whether or not they can once again, like they did today, get Tory MPs to come out and object to stuff. But this is where Liz Truss's entire agenda now, as we've seen happen with the tax side, now the rest of it risks just kind of running to the ground. And this
at
is
a
why,
time, by the way, at a time that we are going through possibly the scariest winter for energy. It all depends on temperatures. If it's cold, it's going to be really kind of potentially quite hairy because we may not have enough gas. I don't want to kind of go over the top. There's a chance, but it's not the kind of majority chance. But that's facing us right now.
Ofgem warning about energy changes.
Yeah. This is happening right now, and that's slightly alarming that we have a government that, as Sam's kind of laid out, is struggling to make any legislation right now, right before we go into this. I think that's fun. You know, we take a step back. That's really unnerving.
You could almost feel sorry for Liz Truss, because she came in on day one of her premiership, laid out her priorities, and front and centre of that was dealing with a cost of living crisis, largely generated because of the increased cost to energy from the war in Ukraine and the actions by President Putin. And she came in and she, you know, did her with Krassi Kwarteng, did a massive, big package that actually landed quite well. It didn't spook the markets. It was very easy to understand. It went down well. And now 3 weeks later, we're not that far away from actually the prospect coming towards us of another cost of living crisis. But this one with mortgages, because interest rates have just been going up, partly because cabinet ministers are demanding that they go up, criticising the Bank of England for not going up fast enough. People are suddenly realising that if they're having to renegotiate their fixed rate, actually, we're looking at hundreds of pounds or more a month that people are going to have facing their mortgages. And some of that additional risk that increases interest rates just that little bit further, caused by the statements, the actions, the policies and the choices of the government that's just arrived in Downing Street.
You did some quite interesting analysis on this, didn't you, Ed, about mortgage rates and how actually it's going to be harder now for people to bear than at the time. We can see Liz Truss there. She's walking into the conference centre, lots of smiles there. She's flanked by Therese Coffey, one of her closest allies. Also Andrew Griffiths of the Treasury and Nadeem Zahawi there. In picture, sharing a quick word with Liz Truss as they await the speech of the Chancellor, which is due in around 1 minute's time. Tough week for Liz Truss, but she's putting all smiles on. Tough week for Liz Truss, and obviously for the man we're about to hear from too, Kwasi Kwarteng.
Yeah, we're told that Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng spoke several times yesterday. It's not yet quite clear who ended up really being the one that forced through this U-turn. But every indication that I'm getting, Sophie, is that Kwasi Kwarteng and Liz Truss are not enjoying the smoothest of relationships in this early phase of their relationship. I mean, it's not surprising they've been thrown in with crisis after crisis to deal with, and they've got a Tory party they didn't expect to be in insurrection. These are not normal times, but my God, how often have we been saying that for the last 8 years? So it shouldn't be that much of a surprise. And so, Kwasi Kwarteng's first job is just to show that there's a functioning government with a bit of a plan to just calm down the nerves in the hall.
And the nerves outside the hall too, as well.
Nerves outside the hall. I mean, it's that bug there on the top left-hand side. What happens to the pound?
Here he comes. We can see him there walking to the stage. Let's have a listen in, shall we?
Thank you, conference. What a day. It has been tough, but we need to focus on the job in hand. We need to move forward. No more distractions, we have a plan, and we need to get on and deliver it. That's what the public expects from the government. But first, conference, welcome back to Birmingham. This is a remarkable city. It has a history of great brilliance. Joseph Chamberlain in the 19th century was an extraordinary civic leader who led Birmingham and the world through the Industrial Revolution. And today, Andy Street is following in that great tradition. Graft and grit turned this small town first into a thriving industrial market, then into one of the centres of the Industrial Revolution, which powered and grew not just the British economy, but provided the new technologies that changed the world forever. The Industrial Revolution was one of the most monumental transformations in human history, and it began here with determination and application. Those Britons built a thriving economy. They inspire me today. They remind us that in Britain, with the British people, absolutely anything is possible. Our plan today focuses on the same bold sentiment, the same inspiration, to deal with the challenges of today by giving people the tools they need to thrive tomorrow, to get Britain moving. We have great ideas. We have the same inspirational people, and I know we have the same determination. Our growth plan, set out 10 days ago, will ensure we focus relentlessly on economic growth, because we must face up to the fact that for too long, our economy has not grown enough. The path ahead of us was one of slow, managed decline. But I refuse to accept that it is somehow Britain's destiny to fall back into middle league status, or that the tax burden reaching a 70-year high is somehow inevitable. It isn't, and it shouldn't be. We needed a new approach focused on raising economic growth, because that is the only real way to deliver opportunities, to deliver higher wages, to deliver more jobs, and crucially, to deliver that revenue to fund our precious public services. And it is the best and only way of achieving long-term fiscal sustainability. Because it is only by raising economic growth that we will spread opportunity and prosperity to every corner of our country. With economic growth, everybody benefits. And I mean everybody. While we all believe in growth, we as Conservatives also believe that it is an important principle that people should keep more of the money they earn. I don't need to tell you that. That isn't radical, that isn't irresponsible, it is a deeply held belief that we all share as Conservatives. We were faced with a 70-year high tax burden. We were confronted with low growth, and the path we were on was clearly unsustainable. So that's why we are cutting taxes for working people. That's why we will reverse the national insurance hike on the 6th of November. And that's why we will bring forward the 1p cut to the basic rate of income tax by 1 year. That's why we will take 200,000 people out of paying stamp duty altogether. Taken together, this is what our support will do for all our people. Thanks to our energy intervention, a typical person in a semi-detached property will save £1,150 on their energy bills this winter, on top of the £400 discount. And if they are earning an average salary, they will benefit from an additional tax cut of around £400. That is almost a £2,000 saving this year alone. But I can be frank. I know the plan put forward only 10 days ago has caused a little turbulence. I get it. We are listening and have listened. And now I want to focus on delivering the major parts of our growth package. Because with energy bills skyrocketing, a painful COVID aftermath, war on our continent, a 70-year high tax burden, slowing global growth rates, and glacially slow infrastructure delivery, we couldn't simply do nothing. We can't sit idly by. What peak Britain needs more than ever is economic growth, and a government wholly committed to economic growth. That is why we will forge a new economic deal for Britain, backed by an ironclad commitment to fiscal discipline. More businesses. More jobs, higher pay, more money for public services. Because we cannot have a strong NHS without a strong economy. We can't have good schools without a strong economy. We cannot fund our armed forces without a strong economy. So growing our economy should be our central and guiding mission. With this plan, we are aiming for 2.5% annual trend growth. We've done it before, and we can do it again. And even in the face... And even in the face... days of extreme volatility in global markets, with major currencies wrestling an incredibly strong US dollar, and longer-term trends from demographic change to climate change, we will show that our plan is sound, that it is credible, and that it will increase growth. That is our pledge to the people of this country.
Obviously, the guy's a bit bonkers, but it's his speech, so I'm not going to interrupt. I'm just going to let him do it.
However, conference, there is an immediate challenge facing not just our country, not just our people, but the whole of Europe. The high cost of energy driven by Putin's barbaric invasion of Ukraine. Cast your mind back just 4 weeks ago. We had dire warnings of extreme energy prices to come. Corner shops to heavy industry predicted unprecedented disruption. Business groups feared mass unemployment. Entire livelihoods were on the line. Make no mistake, this was a very real prospect for our country. So within 48 hours of taking office, we announced one of the most significant interventions ever conceived by the British state. Annual energy bills of up to £6,500 from next year were staring us in the face. Everybody was worried. Now we are holding down the price at an average of £2,500. Not just this winter, like the Labour Party promised, but next winter too. 2 years of significant taxpayer support to protect our people. Because this government will always be on the side of those who need help the most. For our businesses too, conference, help is on its way. A local pub could save £3,100 a month, cutting their bills by 40%. And we've also frozen alcohol duty. Make no mistake, this is a monumental support package to protect millions of families and businesses from devastating price hikes unleashed by Vladimir Putin. There is no doubt that this is a substantial intervention. But we had no choice. Doing something was simply not an option. We couldn't just cross our fingers and hope for the best. The price of inaction would have been far greater than the cost of the scheme. We will deal with the short-term shocks caused by Putin, but we must also go for growth to ensure we are much more self-sufficient. We will tackle the mistakes of the past to ensure the UK can never again be blackmailed by people such as Putin and his like. Right to intervene to protect lives and livelihoods. And I can say in all sincerity that we went into that crisis in a much better position because of the action we have taken over the last decade. Because of successive Conservative governments, the UK now has the second lowest debt to GDP ratio in the G7. And throughout this urgent endeavour of ours to protect Britain from high energy costs, and in response to the urgent need to grow our economy, we have taken the appropriate action. Our entire approach will be underpinned by a strong institutional framework which enhances growth in our country, including our independent Bank of England and Office for Budget Responsibility. We will have a strong fiscal anchor, with debt falling as a percentage, a proportion of GDP over the medium term. That is the Conservative way. But today we face new challenges. And in addressing those challenges, we will act in a fiscally sustainable and responsible way. That is why, shortly, we will publish our medium-term fiscal plan, setting out our approach more fully. It will set out how we plan to get debt falling as a percentage of GDP over the medium term. And I have asked the OBR to publish a full economic and fiscal forecast alongside our medium-term fiscal plan. There is no path to higher sustainable growth without fiscal responsibility. Conservatives have always known this, and we know it still. And it is because we are Conservatives that we remain absolutely committed to being serious custodians of the public purse. This is what defines us and separates us from the Labour Party. But conference, to grow the economy, we really do need to do things differently. We know that it is our towns and cities which drive much of our economic growth today. Business investment, skills, science and technology, infrastructure, housing, energy supply, strong financial services. These are the key ingredients for higher economic growth and well-funded public services. I had the great privilege of being business secretary for nearly 2 years. I visited every corner of this country. I saw the creativity, the drive, the entrepreneurial spirit. We have to celebrate our entrepreneurs, our business people, our job creators, people who are taking risks. But I also saw where government got in the way of progress. My job now is to free that potential. This starts with investment zones. We will empower local areas to do things differently, just as here in Birmingham. We will liberalise planning rules, releasing land and accelerating development. We will cut taxes for businesses in those zones. We will accelerate tax reliefs for new structures and for new buildings. We will provide relief on investments on plant and machinery. We will lower taxes which stop businesses hiring and skilling up their workforce. That is an unprecedented set of incentives for business to invest, to create jobs, to build right across our country. And it will start right now. Conference, we will get Britain moving. But too often regulation holds business and Britain back. Stifling red tape puts up too many barriers for entrepreneurs looking to scale up. There are too many rules for small business owners who want to take on an apprentice. There are too many burdens on our finance sector stopping it from investing in key projects. And when Britain's innovators, job creators, entrepreneurs and risk takers are held back, so is Britain. That is why we will review, replace or repeal retained EU law holding our country back. We will also speed up the delivery of infrastructure and promote house building to create a true homeowning, shareholding democracy. Energetically and emphatically, we will get out of the way to get Britain building and on its feet. Over the coming days and weeks, we will forge ahead and break down the barriers that have held our country back for too long. On childcare, agriculture, immigration, planning, energy, broadband, business, financial services. Sensible economic reforms to produce more of the products and services we need to drive down costs, to create jobs, and to generate higher pay and productivity. And when it comes to those who would hold us back, we will act. Pernicious strike action disrupts the lives of British people and slows down our economy. It stops children going to school. It stops parents from going to work. And it stops people from getting the vital care that they need. Action which slows down our economy cannot be the policy of any serious party serious about growth. And a party which is not serious about growth can never be considered fit for office. Important reforms to stop strike action from derailing our daily lives. Reform to get Britain moving. Conference, I am unashamedly a pro-business Conservative. I know that the interests of business and hard-working families are not in conflict. They are aligned. When businesses thrive, they create more jobs, they raise wages, and they contribute more for our public services. Rather than bashing business, we are backing it. That is why we need to make our tax. That is why we need to make our tax system simpler, more competitive, and pro-growth. So we will reverse the planned increase in corporation tax, ensuring we have the lowest rate in the G20. This will plough almost £19 billion a year back into the economy. That's £19 billion for businesses to reinvest, to create jobs and raise wages. We will reverse the reforms to IR35 that have added unnecessary complexity and cost for so many businesses. We will maintain the £1 million annual investment allowance, giving 100% tax relief on investments in plant and machinery. For over a decade, the Conservative Party has stood up for working people in this country. Since 2010, we have delivered the lowest unemployment since the 1970s, 1 million new businesses, more than doubling the tax-free personal allowance. We've taken 2 million of the lowest paid out of paying tax altogether. The national living wage, boosting the pay packets of the lowest paid. Fuel duty, frozen for 12 years. The £1,000 uplift in universal credit, making sure work always pays. These are great achievements, conservative achievements. And let us not forget, when this party came into government, we were met with the full force of Labour's economic incompetence. No money left, taxes raised, record unemployment. We reversed that story of national decline. But even after 3 election defeats, they still haven't learned their lesson. The Labour Party would have you believe that every penny you earn should go straight into the government's coffers. The Labour Party believe that they know how to spend your money better than you do. The Labour Party believe that they can tax their way to growth. We don't believe that. We believe in low tax, high growth, and fiscal discipline. We are conservatives. And that conference is what our growth plan delivers. Last week we saw a Labour Party with the same old ideas, renationalisation, empty slogans, no plan for growth. But we as conservatives believe in Britain. We love this country. Our patriotism isn't something that we turn on and off and negotiate like the Labour Party. It goes to the core of what it is to be a Conservative. It is unyielding quality. Yes, we have challenges to face, but our plan will take this country forward. We will get Britain moving. We will deliver lower taxes for you and your family, and we will grow our economy. I know we can achieve that goal. With grit, with drive, and with determination, we can meet the challenges of this new era. Thank you.
So he got through that pretty well. He made a joke out of the last 10 days' economic crisis right at the beginning and just ploughed through it. He got through it pretty well. He is still the man that nearly wrecked the pension system, though. So let's not forget that. It's a disturbing thing that a man who can nearly wreck the pension system can a week later come to party conference and just make a joke out of it. So I'm obviously not a fan. I'm going to let this play and see what else he's got to say. Right, I think that's all the coverage they're going to do by the looks of it. So if anybody wants to have a conversation, you're welcome to call in and we'll have a chat. I was just really wanting to watch the coverage of that particular speech. But I'll be back for the The music show later on at 9 p.m. my time, which I think is 4 p.m. East Coast Podbean time, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I mean, you're welcome to hang around for a little while. I'll find something else to play in the meantime. And I don't know what I'm going to play tonight as yet, but I'm sure it'll emerge about 10 minutes. I'm in the UK solo. I'm in Newcastle, which is the northeast of England. And the music shows are a little bit complicated because I'm doing an hour on Podbean and then I do an hour on Revolution Radio. So I have to keep reminding myself who I'm talking to all the time. All right, are you in Iran or are you from Iran? Oh yeah, Freedom Warrior does what he calls the warm-up show. Or you're living in Iran, so 9 o'clock my time is probably going to be about midnight, I would think. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know how far ahead Iran is. Right, so you're 2 hours ahead. So it's going to be, so 9 p.m. here is going to be 11, just about 11 Iranian time, I think. So it'll be 11 till midnight on Podbean for you. And it's 9 till 10 for me. And it's 4 till 5 East Coast time. Well, you're welcome to join me. If you're still awake, you're welcome to join me. I don't do a lot of talking on that one. I basically just play the music. I'm quite happy just to let the music do whatever talking it needs to do. The combination works. Yeah, I'm having fun with the music show. I'm not taking it all that seriously, so it can be a bit repetitive, but I'm trying to vary things a little bit. So there's everything from jazz to jazz funk to soul to blues to rock to gothic stuff sometimes. I reserve the right to play old Bauhaus and Cure and that type of stuff. I like a little bit of 80s electronica now and again. Some German experimental stuff. Maybe a little bit of Tangerine Dream. I haven't played any Tangerine Dream so far. Yeah, I do try and make everything about 10 minutes long. So it usually ends up, the average is about 8 minutes. That's just the way my head works, is I have to do less work that way. But it means that it's more, for me, that means the musicians get more of a chance to do what they do. And I'm in favour of musicians doing what they do. It means you can if you've got 10 minutes, you can experiment a little bit with whatever themes you're working with and whatever rhythms you're working with. And I'm not a musician, but I do like to hear musicians really going for it. So that's what I try to play. Is anything that's got passion in it, that's got soul in it, that's experimental, that's got space to breathe. That's kind of the vibe that I'm trying to pass on to people, is you can experiment, you can breathe. There's no reason to stop doing that. So although the world may be coming to an end, we can still live. There's nothing stopping us from living. All the fear that's around and all the chaos that's around shouldn't stop us from living. In fact, that's one of the reasons that we should be concentrating on living more, because there's so much chaos around. Anyway, that's my thought on the subject. So it varies a little bit. There's been a lot of Rush recently, so there might be a few Rush tunes. Yeah, exactly, Dina Jo. Everybody has a right to enjoy their life in my world. Joy's part of why we're here. It's not the only reason we're here, but it's part of why we're here. So don't deny that. So have a bit of fun. The world is a serious place, but the world's also a fun place. And we've all got a choice about what combination is in our lives. So I take it seriously. Yeah, I take it very seriously. Sometimes I take it way too seriously. And I balance that out by a bit of music here and there. So I still don't know what I'm going to play. Probably now that I've mentioned Tangerine Dream, there may well be a Tangerine Dream track in there somewhere. And that's going to be at least 10 minutes. Because I don't think they do anything that's less than 10 minutes. It's tricky solo. I appreciate that Iran's a tricky place to live a lot of the time. Britain's not the best place in the world at the moment. The US has got its own problems. Everybody's got their own problems to deal with. But a little bit of music here and there, a little bit of nostalgia does no harm, but you've got to live in the present moment as well. So I'm hopefully trying to combine those two things so that we can bring some of the energy that was around in the 70s for experimentation and for joy and for just loving life. Some of that energy is what we need now. And we can get some of that back by the music. The music carries that. So we can get some of it back by nostalgia for the music. So I'm trying to kind of convey the idea of freedom and experimentation and joy. Because if we lose that, we lose everything. If we lose the ability to have fun and the ability to experiment and the ability to be joyful, then we've lost everything. That's what's being pulled away. So the more it's being pulled away, the more I'm going to just emphasize it. And I'm quite apologetic about playing that really boring speech, but I was interested to hear what he had to say because there's a lot of chaos going on in the UK. So that was part of my day, but then I go off on a rant about joy. So there you go. I think that's probably it for now. I'm talked out, so I'm going to be back at 4 o'clock Eastern anyway with the music show, and I'll probably do another new show tomorrow as well. I've kind of rebranded this a little bit, so I'm doing Technocratic Tyranny Blues, which is the music show, and Technocratic Tyranny News, which is the new show, because it kind of made sense to do it that way. Once I've got the blues show established, it makes sense for there to be a new show, because it's easy to remember. So that's kind of how I'm doing it, and I'm hoping the rebranding is going to work, because once you get the idea in your head that it's either news or blues, then you can kind of remember both. It's easy for me to remember anyway. Welcome, Porky. Welcome to the room. I'm just kind of rambling at the moment, although people are still coming in, so I'm going to find something to play. There must be something on YouTube I can play. I don't want to go back to the politics, but I'll find something else.
Thank you.
speech. Well, there you go. Kwasi Kwarteng, the Chancellor, delivering his speech to Conservative Party conference in Birmingham to applause from the hall. There was a nod to the U-turn at the beginning of the speech. What a day, he said. It's been tough, no more distractions. But at the same time, this was a speech where he really lent into the need for economic growth and saying that the government needs to go forward with its plan. Sam, what did you make of it?
It was not a speech with any great announcement. There was nothing new that we hadn't heard. It was a bit like the kind of greatest hits of what we've heard in the comments and the newspaper articles. Sometimes, Johnson's speeches are always the second biggest moment of a party conference, and you would expect either there to be language or a new policy or just something that moves on the political debate. There wasn't much sign of that in this. There was one incredibly striking thing about the speech, which was, yes, he acknowledged that today he, as Chancellor, had to do something incredibly difficult and junk amongst the most high-profile policies, 45p tax rate, that he has done since becoming Chancellor. And there was a nod to that at the beginning, and he did it in a way that was completely, it felt quite sensible. But then, on this day, where quite clearly Conservative MPs are sore, you know, this U-turn was forced on them by an alliance of people from Michael Gove downwards, Grant Shapps, plenty of them going public, even more behind the scenes. Then, in the speech that he gives to the hall, Kwasi Kwarteng spent quite a lot of the speech kicking them. What do I mean by that? He kept going on about the failures of recent governments. Now, who are those recent governments? Well, it's Boris Johnson's government. It's Rishi Sunak as Chancellor. He talked about slow, managed decline. Well, that's a direct attack on the people that were sitting in the chair that he sits in today. So how's that going to calm nerves? How's that going to win people over? He talked three times about the highest tax burden since the 1970s. Yes, that's true. Yes, Liz Truss stands for something else. But there is a wounded, unhappy Conservative Party that today has shown it is willing to flex its muscles if they don't like the direction that Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng are taking the government instead. And basically, Kwasi Kwarteng stood up there for 20 minutes and rubbed salt in the wind.
But we've got two audiences here that we were talking about before. The politicians, it seems from your analysis, might be feeling a bit more bruised potentially after that speech, or at least some of Boris Johnson and Rishi Sunak's allies. How about the other audience that we were talking about, you know, the markets? He was talking a bit about fiscal responsibility, wasn't he, about economic growth. Do you think there's much reassuring in the speech for that audience?
Well, in a way, yeah. So for that audience, whereas Sam was saying, you know, I remember kind of previous conference speeches, Chancellor's conference speeches, particularly under George Osborne, where he would always kind of arrive with a big policy. You know, you would actually move the dial and things would feel like they were kind of starting to change here. Like, paradoxically, actually, perhaps what he was aiming for was not to move the dial at all, you know, just to kind of calm things down. And, you know, I basically did that. I mean, it was pretty unremarkable, as these speeches go, to be honest with you. I mean, lots about, as Sam was saying, about growth. I mean, I can't think of any politician who doesn't like growth, but, you know, it's good that the Conservative Party is embracing that logical truth. Reversing the story of national decline after the Labour Party, a lot of the kind of, you know, tried and tested hits that you tend to hear at party conference. Biggest cheer that I could detect was about reviewing, replacing, repealing EU law, so back to Brexit. So to some extent, Sam was saying it's a bit of a greatest hits thing, but a quite kind of tentative one. And you know, if you're looking at kind of mood music, it was a slightly downbeat mood as they go, but it wasn't it. I mean,
it was quite muted, I thought, yeah. To be honest. I mean, you know, we've seen many of these speeches on TV before, in the hall or whatever, on TV at party conference. I felt that the atmosphere was quite muted in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a bruised conference, right? Everyone woke up to, you know, 12:20 in the morning suggestions of a tax U-turn that arrived in everybody's inboxes and on their social media feeds at 7:20 in the morning, and that's uncomfortable for a political party, right? And you watch the hall, the applause on the way in was quite brief, the applause on the way out was quite brief. We weren't talking kind of mega reception. There was a great deal, I thought, for the audience to sort of massively, you know, massively get to grips with. But the other reason I think things are quite muted is that there are lots of elephants in the room. There's an awful lot we don't know, such as how is all the fiscal responsibility, how is all the, you know, managing to stay within your budget, how's that, any of that going to happen? Huge decisions we're waiting for from this Chancellor. No idea of any more detail from him after today. Another elephant in the room, I thought, as far as I can tell, one of the biggest political challenges that we're going to be talking about for the next 18 months is the consequence of higher interest rates, higher borrowing levels, cheaper mortgages, disappointing. People are going to have to pay hundreds of pounds more. Keep going on about this, but it's really important to hold on to their houses, to hold on to their properties from higher mortgage payments. Not a word about that either. And so you've got all of these big questions, these big sort of imponderables, not addressed in the hall. Yes, he ticked all the boxes that a Chancellor's speech would normally tick. Yes, he bashed the opposition. Yes, he talked in praise of Grace. But there was just so much unaddressed. So you were sort of left wondering what was the big point, what was the thing he hoped to take away, us all to take away from that?
He did. I mean, well, yeah, the one thing he wanted to talk about was energy. And I think that's the kind of the interesting thing is you potentially see a real re-emphasis on the fact that the energy policy, like you were saying beforehand, Sam, wasn't as popular. And of all the bits of the Many budget, that's the most popular bit. But
on the energy, it's a really interesting question about political credit, right? At this conference, they are desperate to try and get some fiscal credit for the £160 billion they spent 2 weeks ago on the two different bits of the energy system. Fine. It's difficult. It's been crowded out. Obviously, big events have been going on. But one of the other reasons it's so difficult to get credit for that energy policy is because the rate at which, the unit rate at which energy prices have been fixed is twice what it was last year. So people are still hurting from energy price increases. So you will get some credit for protecting what you stopped happening, but it's harder to get credit when it's still causing people pain.
Particularly when people are just getting those announcements right now, right? They're just learning at the moment about how much their bills are going to go.
I should say, Sophie, markets did not crash. I mean, there was no collapse in the pound. Down a little bit, to be honest with you, but let's not put it down to that. Gilt rates didn't move all that much. I mean, the scheme of
success.
Things, such things, yeah, they might be quite happy.
I remember
that.
Doing this analysis with you after the budget, so that certainly doesn't look like a bit of better picture. Thank you both very much indeed for your analysis. Ed Conway there at Sam Coates talking us through that.
All right, that's the Sky News coverage. I'm going to close up there because I'm all talked out for the minute, but I'll be back in about whatever it is, 4 hours' time. Yeah, Chris, I think the central bank systems I don't know how much it's going to be collapsed. I think they're going for parity, so they can introduce a digital currency. But they're not that far away from parity now, so I don't know how long the digital currency will take to actually introduce. That's the next thing that I'm kind of looking for. I've lived without electricity, so I can do that. I know I can do that for a year at least. It's not pleasant, but I can do it. So I've kind of been through it already, so I know what it feels like to live without electricity, and I can only do it for a year. I wouldn't do that for two winters in a row, because it was absolutely freezing. So I will be prepared, you're right. I will be totally prepared just in case. I'll have to get some logs or some... I can't have a log burner in here because there's no flue or anything. So I'll have to get some ceramic pots and heat ceramic pots or something. That would be one way around it. Use those as kind of radiators. Yeah, I'm going to close the room up because I'm kind of out of things to talk about. So I shall see you again at 9 p.m. my time, which is 4 hours' time. All right, cheers, guys. Thanks for coming in.